Well, I'm going to read in your hearing now the 11th chapter of the book of Job. Hear now this portion of God's word. Then answered Zophar the Namathite and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserve. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain men would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget the misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, and thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety, and thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eye of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost." May God help us to understand even this chapter of his word. You may be seated. My intention is to take only one message, this message, to seek to focus your attention with the help of the Lord on the words of Job's third verbal assaulter, Zophar the Namathite, as recorded here in Job chapter 11, the chapter I just finished reading. Then answered Zophar the Namathite and said. Now there are a number of reasons for my taking less time with the infallibly recorded words of this third false friend of Job's in comparison to Job's infallibly recorded words. One reason is, even though this is the first time Zophar assaults Job verbally, what Zophar is doing is captured in the slightly modified words of a popular song. New boss, same as the old boss. Not new boss, same as the old boss, but new assaulter, same as the old verbal assaulters who have already assaulted Job verbally, and they will all do so again as we move forward in this book. These three men, whether knowingly or unknowingly, are being used of Satan, and they are all in agreement. New boss, same as the old boss. New assaulter, same as the old assaulter. They're all in the same agreement. Job, you must be the world's greatest hypocrite and the world's greatest wicked, impenitent sinner for you to be facing what you have and are going through. And if I dare apply another popular song to the fact that these three verbal assaulters bring the same verbal assaults against Job, the song remains the same. The verbal assaulting remains the same. Yes, they tweak their assaults here and there, but the same false idea constantly undergirds their verbal assaults against Job. But a second reason for not wanting to spend as much time on what Zophar and his two other assaulters say against Job is because God himself clearly declares that they have not spoken of him correctly, like Job did. So, if I can put it this way, who wants to spend too much time listening to someone who is singled out by God himself as not saying things that are true about him? Job certainly didn't like listening to them, as seen in his responses to all of them. But how few are like Job today, who show it by their willingness to listen to people saying incorrect things about God and those made in God's image? But a third reason I can easily give for not wanting to spend too much time on this non-correct God speaker is because of who is using Zophar and his friends to assault Job the way they do. The adversary of all our souls, friends, the devil himself. Therefore, who wants to listen to someone whom the scriptures show is being used and manipulated by the devil? Obviously, many are in the world and in this country today, as seen by who they are willing to listen to and follow rather than the Lord. But even though for these three reasons, I am not going to consider this entire chapter in any great amount of detail, even though I'm going to consider it in one message, this does not mean that the Lord does not want you to profit spiritually from the words Zophar assaults Job with, even by seeking not to follow his example. For if I was to give you one criteria to use when reading or studying what either Zophar or Job's two other false friends say, in light of what I have already said, it would be this: read and study them to learn how not to answer a suffering person. If you want to know how not to answer a suffering person, read what Job's three false friends say to him. Yes, Job 11 is an infallible and inerrant record of what Zophar said to Job in his verbal assault against him, but that does not mean you should follow his example. No. Seek to discern from what he says as to what not to do, which is what I want to seek to do now. First, don't assume that what a suffering person says needs to be answered. Even a fool is considered wise when he holds his tongue, but Zophar is not even showing the wisdom of a silent fool. For Zophar is assuming that what Job has said needs to be answered by him. Verses 1 and 2. Then answered Zophar the Namathite and said, "Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified?" As I just said, Zophar is assuming that he should be answering what Job has been saying. And he is assuming as well as his other two assaulters that he and they are the ones who are capable of answering him. But who is giving Zophar the idea that he has both the ability and the wisdom to answer what suffering Job is saying? The one who is king over all the children of pride, the devil. Is what Zophar says about Job true? No. Is what Zophar is saying to Job loving? No. Yet, he thinks the things that Job is saying are an attempt at him trying to justify himself rather than revealing the true depth of the difficulty Job is having with his suffering. What did he say in the previous chapter? "I'm full of confusion." Zophar is clearly showing that he is not being guided by the truth of the word of God as written by James. Let everyone be quick to what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Zophar is showing that he is not applying these truths by thinking that Job's suffering, as heard in what Job is saying, required a response from him. But Lord, who knows what I would say? Who knows what I would say in the midst of suffering? Give me the wisdom to not say anything unless it is spoken in truth and love. Plus, one thing that Zophar and his fellow assaulters have either not heard or don't want to hear is that Job is not directing his struggles and questions at them. He's seeking the face of God. He's taking his struggle to God, which should have shown Zophar and his friends, as I've already said, but bears repeating, that Job is not the wicked hypocrite they are convinced he is. He's bringing his questions, his struggles before God. Why did thou take me out of the womb? Job is not trying to justify himself by what he has been saying. Job is showing you how difficult it can be to work through the truth that in this world you will have tribulation. When that tribulation strikes you personally, even as Job is seeking the face of God. Lord, give me the wisdom to know that there is a time to speak and a time to be silent. But Zophar is showing that he's not following that wisdom as he thinks he has both the wisdom and the right to answer Job. But because Zophar is being used of the devil, it is not surprising that he reveals a second thing not to be done in speaking to a suffering person. Second, don't accuse them of lying and mockery so that you compound their suffering as Zophar does. Verse 3, should thy lies make men hold their peace, and when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? If you are reading Job carefully, one thing it should show you is that you should never be surprised. Shocked, yes. Saddened, yes. But never surprised at what some people are willing to say to others, even those who are suffering. Just reread what was said to Jesus when he hung on his cross of penal substitution. Just stop and think how different what Zophar is saying to Job in comparison to what God has said about him. And what some people can say to others in the midst of their suffering shows that the devil is guiding their tongue and not the Holy Spirit. Job, you are a lying mocker. And I want to expose you for what you are to make you ashamed. Even as Job is covered from head to toe in boils and has declared how great his suffering is for him. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: hatred, emulations, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, gentleness, meekness, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Do you hear those fruits of the Spirit in what Zophar is saying to Job? Should thy lies make men hold their peace, and when thou mockest, shall no men make thee ashamed? Where's the kindness? Where's the bowels of mercy? It's not there. Because he's not being guided by the Spirit of God. He's being guided by the devil. But a third thing not to be done, not to be not done, but actually done, is seen by what Zophar is not doing. Because after accusing Job of being a mocking liar, Zophar shows that he has not been accurately hearing Job. Why do I say this? Verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. When someone is being used of the devil, they will not only be ashamed to accuse you of lying when you haven't, but of saying things that you didn't say, showing that the father of lies is using their tongue. Reread what Job is recorded as saying. He never said what Zophar is accusing him of saying. Reread what Job says. He clearly and repeatedly states the exact opposite. Job knew he was not sinless. Job knew, was aware of his many shortcomings. Job was aware of his confusion. But Zophar here is accusing him of the exact opposite. Again, make sure you take the time in the presence of a suffering person to actually listen to what that person is saying, so as not to accuse them of something they have not said. Why should I listen to what Zophar is saying to me? He is obviously not listening to what I am saying to him. Why? Because Zophar is so intent on getting Job to admit to something that was not true, he was not hearing what Job was actually saying about himself. Zophar is not just not quick to listen. He is not listening to Job at all, except to distort things he is saying. And let us be honest, dear brethren, how often have you been so intent on saying something to another person you're in, maybe a heated conversation with or something? How often have you been so intent on saying something that you haven't even heard what the other person has said? Oh, there is a real danger of not wanting to hear what a suffering person is actually saying. Zophar wasn't listening to Job except to condemn him and assault him. Which leads me to a fourth thing not to be done when speaking to a suffering person. Don't turn what the suffering person says they desire against them. For what they are going through is hard enough. They don't need what they say they desire turned against them. Now, I am not saying you can endorse something that they hope for that is false, like thinking they can safely meet God without true saving faith in Christ. But Zophar wants to give Job the idea that his supposed desire in Zophar's thinking to meet God would not go well for him. Verse 5, "But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee." Job, you can't honestly believe that your meeting with God will go well for you, because the exact opposite will happen. Do you see the assaulting, lying tongue of the devil in this assault of Zophar against Job? The audience with God you say you desire will not turn out well for you, Job, so just curse God and be done with it. But as will be seen, and you know, having read the opening and closing chapters, God has spoken for Job and will do so again. Job has spoken of me things that are right, not like you have in your assault against him. See again the hatred of the devil for the souls of men in what Zophar says to Job. Because a suffering person does not need to be told that the Lord will not receive him in the midst of his or her suffering. What do they need to hear? They need to hear the words of truth. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." They need to hear, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear, "Come unto me, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." They need the comfort and the truth of the gospel in the midst of their suffering. The work of soul conviction and soul conversion is not in your hands, brethren, but in the hands of the Lord, who alone can take the truth you are speaking to them in love and use it to the benefit of their suffering soul. If you seek the Lord in the midst of your suffering,
He will receive you. Remember that thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Zophar was showing he was being used of the devil because he was turning the very thing that Job desired into a negative. But the fifth thing that Zophar does that should not be done in speaking to a suffering person is claiming to know more than you actually do. Verse 6. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. How does Zophar know this? How does Zophar know this? He doesn't. Who is capable of knowing what every one of their sins deserves or what the sins of someone else deserves? Who alone knows that? God. And no one else. God alone knows this. Such knowledge requires omniscience. Such knowledge requires infinite wisdom. Something only God has, not Zophar. And I mean no disrespect. Not you. And not me. And not anyone else. Be honest with a suffering person. I don't know. I don't know why you are going through this suffering. Zophar and his friends were saying what? You're going through this because you're the hypocrite of hypocrites. I don't know why you're going through this suffering. Now, if they willingly give a possible reason, listen to them and point them to the only one who can forgive them if they are suffering for personal sin. But don't assume that even they know or that you do with infallible certainty. Zophar is claiming knowledge of things that are impossible for him to know unless he was given direct revelation from God. But the fact that he has to seek God, that he has to seek Job for his prayer and intercession at the end of this book shows that he does not have a hotline to the mind of God like too many in the face of the suffering of others think that they have. And just because someone says something is true about you or God does not make it so. Job annoyed his false friends because he didn't just accept what they said about him or God just because they said it. But the fact that Zophar assumes too much in his knowledge of God and Job does not mean he is ignorant of all truth about God, which leads to the sixth thing that Zophar does that should not be done when speaking to a suffering person. Zophar declares truth about God, but he misapplies it. He declares truth about God, but he misapplies it. Remember, the devil knows what is true about God, but he will always seek to misapply it and distort it, which is what you see Zophar doing in verses 7 to 11. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty under perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the seas. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeketh wickedness also. He will not then consider it. Zophar is taking these truths about God and trying to get Job to admit to something Job knew was not true. In light of the greatness and majesty of God that Zophar clearly testifies to in what he is saying in these verses, Job, you have to be going through what you have and are going through because of being some really wicked sinner. Something that Zophar will directly accuse Job of being in the next verses. But friends, labor to not misapply some truth about God in the midst of the suffering of another person. You see, Zophar is like the devil in the wilderness when he was tempting our Lord. After 40 days without food, was Jesus suffering hunger? Yes. Did Satan know he was hungry? Yes. Did Satan know that Jesus was the Son of God? Yes. But what did he do with these truths? If or since thou be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, because your Father has obviously forsaken you. Don't misapply truth in the face of human suffering. And a modern day example of what Zophar is doing is seen in what the Westboro Baptist cult, don't dishonor God by calling it a church, what the Westboro Baptist cult does in the presence of human suffering. It takes truth from the Word of God, radically distorts it, and then misuses it, even as Zophar does. Because what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when the lost religious leaders brought a woman taken in the very act of adultery into his presence? What did he do? John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Conviction and forgiveness. Those who give the impression that all a person has to do to die is go to heaven, and those who give the impression that God hates sinners, are both denying the gospel. For God so loved the world. What world? This sinful world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we live in a culture today that says all you have to do is die to go to heaven. You can be a martyr to immorality and you'll still go to heaven. You speak the truth in love. Jesus knew that woman taken in the very act of adultery was a sinner. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and leave thy sin. But the seventh and last thing that Zophar does that should not be done when speaking to a suffering person is telling them things that are false. Telling them things that are false. Verses 12 to 20. For vain men would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit up unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Zophar says three false things to Job. He makes false accusations about Job. Verse 13, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him. Dear brethren, what's Job been seeking? Who has he been seeking up to this point? And he will do so throughout the letter. Who's he been seeking? He's been seeking God. And yet Zophar makes a false accusation. He's saying, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him. Job is seeking God. Zophar is saying he is not. Second, he makes false statements about what would happen for Job if he would only admit that he was wicked, even though Job is not wicked, and Zophar has no way of knowing that this would happen. Verses 14 and 15 again, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then thou shalt lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shall not fear. In fact, the exact opposite would happen. Things would not improve for Job if he confessed to a lie. They would get worse. For confessing to or believing a lie, dear brethren, will never benefit you. Why? Well, ask yourself this simple question. Why is this world filled with all the suffering it is filled with? Why? Adam and Eve believed the lie of the devil and not the truth of the word of the Lord. And the third and last false thing that Zophar tells Job in the devil's futile attempt to get Job to admit to something that is false is that health, wealth, and prosperity is the way it is always meant to be for those who are truly righteous in this world. So because such is not true for you, Job, you can't be the God-fearer and God-seeker you say you are. Verses 16 to 20, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, all thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Job, you must be wicked. Because if you weren't wicked, you would not be going through what you are going through. Just admit it, and all these things will come to pass. The last thing Job's example and the last thing that the one Job pictures should show you, believer, multiplied many times over by the testimony of the apostles and all those who have listened to what they have declared about the Lord Jesus Christ, is the truth that things will not always be easy for a true believer in Christ. Because what did Paul and Barnabas preach to believers in Acts 14, verses 21 and 22? And when they had preached the gospel of that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter in to the kingdom of God. Can Zophar not see that what he is saying to Job is not helping Job? One of the most dangerous people is someone who honestly thinks what they are saying is helping when the exact opposite is taking place. He's an assaulter, not a helper. Zophar was being used of the devil because not basing what he is saying to Job on the word of God and the truths about God, he knows he is using them as weapons against Job and not for his benefit. But what is said about your Lord and Savior, believer? What is said about your beloved Lord and Savior, believer? A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Oh, a bruised reed shall he not break. What's Zophar trying to do? He's trying to break Job. He's trying to break Job. He's not trying to help Job. He's trying to break him. He's not walking in step with the beloved Savior of sinners. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And so, seek to be like Jesus. Seek to be like Jesus when speaking to someone who's suffering, and you will show that you know why God recorded Zophar's words in his word. Zophar's words and his misuse of truth about God are not to be copied when speaking to someone who is suffering. When you are in the presence of someone who is suffering, are you more like Zophar or more like Jesus? May you want to be more like Jesus. Let us pray.
Oh Lord, trying to discern truth from the words of a man who was assaulting the one who you knew was a godly man is not an easy thing. So I hope we have learned some truth here this afternoon. The last thing we want to be is a Zophar. Help us to be more like your Son, who always knew how to speak the truth in love. If it was to the scribes and Pharisees, he could say, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Or if it was to a convicted sinner, he could say, "You're healed." Oh Lord, help us to know how to blend truth and love together as your Son perfectly did, so that we do not increase a suffering person's suffering, but point them to the one and the only one who can deliver us from all suffering, even your Son. Help us to be more like your Son in this suffering world. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen.